This week, we've been reporting on the race gap in Colorado. This is in partnership with iNews Network, a nonprofit investigative news service. iNews pored over census data from 1960 to 2010 and found that blacks and Latinos are falling behind whites in education, income, and homeownership. Our series is called Losing Ground, and through our Public Insight Network, we've been asking for your experiences. Our Public Insight editor, Lee Hill, is here to share some of your responses. Hi, Lee.
Hey, Ryan.
I understand we've had more than 60 people join the network to share their thoughts about these findings.
That's right, and not many of them were surprised by the gaps we've been reporting on, but we've heard a lot of ideas about the causes and how people are affected. Many people point to the education system as a fundamental cause of the problems. Karen Farquharson is one of them. She's a white teacher in Aurora.
I received a really high quality public education. And when I started my teaching career at an urban school here in Colorado that was serving predominantly minority students, I was absolutely shocked at how poorly we were educating many of our students and how many of our students we were failing to prepare for success in school. We need to find a way to close the achievement gap and prepare all of our kids for success. And I think that starts with rethinking the way that we do school.
And to that point, Karen is preparing to open her own Montessori school in Aurora this fall that teaches kids in both English and Spanish. She wants students of different racial and socioeconomic backgrounds to learn together, and she thinks kids learn better that way.
Karen's someone who wants to make a difference in the very early years. Later on, though, blacks and Latinos don't attend or graduate from college at nearly the same rate as whites, as we learn from this series. And a big reason why comes down to money, Lee.
That's right. Obviously, college is extremely expensive for most people. But research shows that blacks and Latinos often don't have the assets or the family support that whites do. And yet, in many cases, the stakes are higher for minorities. Let's look at the story of Eddie Cohen. He's an African-American, and he heads up the Urban League Young Professionals Group in Denver. He went heavily into debt to go to college and law school because he wanted to break the cycle of poverty.
I just knew I had to go to college. And if I didn't, you know, I knew that my chances of success would diminish greatly. I looked at the sort of state of all of the other black men in my family who were dealing with issues of incarceration or drug addiction. So at least it was perceived by me that if I didn't go to college, that I would somehow end up on that same type of path.
Now, we also heard from Michelle Moses, a Latina professor at CU Boulder, and she studies racial inequities in education.
And Ryan, she's really sad about these disparities.
At the undergraduate level, we see many fewer students of color at the University of Colorado Boulder. And in the School of Education, that's especially disappointing for us as we're working to train, you know, the future teachers for our state. I think the retrenchment and in some cases elimination of affirmative action programs at flagship institutions like the University of Colorado Boulder and across the nation, I think that has made a negative difference.
Of course, you look at Moses' own success becoming a professor at CU Boulder, and you think, well, you know, you did awfully well. Can't others do the same?
That may be true, but she says just because she's made strides in her own life, that's not the case generally.
I think it's easy for people to point to sort of the exceptions to the rule. So somebody like myself as a Latina first-generation college student, a first-generation American, people do that and did that a lot with the first election of President Obama saying, okay, look, we have a black president, so now we can be post-racial, as if, you know, one person's success can negate the many people who face injustice in our society and structural inequality.
Who else wrote in for our series Losing Ground?
A guy named Ed Pino wrote to us. He lives in Denver. He's white. He believes the gaps are not about race. He sees it as the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer as a whole. He writes, as the middle class erodes and the children of lower economic classes have less opportunity, this can only cause more social strife.
Well, Ed is partially correct. I mean, it's true that there is an erosion of the middle class overall, but Bert Hubbard of iNews, who crunched the data, says even accounting for that, there's still a big difference between whites and minorities, and disparities between them are growing.
Now, we've heard in the stories this week and from people in Penn about the policies that have affected these disparities, but not everyone thinks government policies are either the cause or the solution. Elbert Johnson is African-American. He lives in Aurora. He considers himself to have done well, but Elbert believes that African-Americans really need to take more personal responsibility. He writes, "Our dysfunctional behavior and how we live as a black community, how we raise our children, and how we treat each other has only been enabled by various government social programs, destroying the church-based morality we used to live by."
Lee, that may be a factor, but the data show that it's not just personal responsibility at play.
Right. For instance, Colorado is 42nd in the nation when it comes to state spending on public schools. That and other policies really bother Corinne Fowler. She's Latina, and she leads economic justice programs for Colorado's Progressive Coalition. She says there's clear evidence that policy plays a big role.
These communities of color have lost wealth dramatically during this Great Recession, and it is the result of regressive tax policies that favor the wealthiest amongst us, and also predatory lending practices during the housing crisis. We know that communities of color were targeted, they were sold predatory loans, and they lost a whole generation of wealth as a result.
Corinne Fowler of Denver there. And we'll continue to report on the implications of the race gap as our series Losing Ground continues this year. And Lee, we're still looking for people to join the conversation.
Yes, you can help inform our reporting on these disparities, especially in education, which is at the root of them. Tell us your story. We want to know about efforts in your community that are making a difference or that you think are contributing to the problem. Join our Public Insight Network at cpr.org. Look for Losing Ground.
Thanks, Lee.
My pleasure.
Lee Hill is the Public Insight Editor at Colorado Public Radio. And we'll be right back with more from Colorado Matters.